Get an all-access experience with player interviews,
exclusive practice information,
and post-game analysts with the sauce you can't find anywhere else.
This is South Philly Sauce,
hosted by Flyers game day host Ashlyn Sullivan and Philly sports radio legend Al Morganti.
Welcome back, South Philly Sauce and Aussie Original, brought to you by 94WIP and Jack Daniels. Al Morganti, Ashlyn Sullivan here with hopefully some answers on what is going on with this Flyers team, as it has been an incredibly rough start to the season. They have not won a game since opening night in Vancouver. And while we'll break down the home and home with the Capitals, there was some fight in the second game. It just simply has not looked pretty. It leaves you very confused of how this team, which is basically the same and add a superstar like Nichkov, can look so different than the way we saw at the end of last year. It looks disorganized, and especially just a lack of goal scoring is the biggest thing that stands out.
Yeah, fortunately for us, we didn't have to do the two Washington games. They were national TV, and for the game here in Philadelphia, Scott and I did a bourbon testing with Kimmo Tiimonen, and unfortunately, it was before the game. Would have been really nice after the stuff that went on. He had that fight early in the game with Delorier, which kind of shows you where they were in terms of let's get this thing going. There's worries. I mean, it looks uncoordinated a little bit. You know what's really interesting to me is when they broke camp, John Tortorella was, you know, pretty happy with what happened, but the general manager was not.
Yeah.
If you recall, Danny Briere was like, I don't know, some of the veterans I don't think had a great camp. And it was unusual to hear. Mm-hmm. And I think his eyes were seeing what we're seeing now a little bit, that they didn't come in. And we knew this was going to be an issue. Yeah, travel was brutal. But we also knew coming in that after what happened last year, it wasn't going to be just drop your skates on the ice and pick up from there. It was going to be all new. And I think the worry was, at least from the GM's office, was they think they've already climbed some of the mountain and they haven't. And yeah, I think that's what we're seeing in these early games. So it has been sporadic. I think at times we've seen, but a little late coming back and then playing with some sort of desperation. So it has not been certainly what everybody had hoped early in the year.
Yeah, and while I understand the panic, I don't think it's time to hit the panic button quite yet. I mean, we've seen it before where the Flyers have started so quickly and it gets them nowhere. So, like, we joke, okay, maybe this is the turnaround and they're going to be relevant at the end of the season. But as a whole, I think the reason to panic a little bit to me is their defensive structure. I mean, they're frankly getting run over for most of the game. And I know people are worried about the goal scoring, and I know they're worried about the chances, but they're getting shots on net. You got to think eventually they go in and they finish. Like, at least they're getting those chances. But to me, the defensive structure has been the night and day difference so far this season.
Yeah, it has, which is why a guy like, you know, Forster gets benched for a game. He was so good defensively last year. What's amazing to me is when you say the panic button, you know, we're in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if this was the Eagles and we saw it last year, people would be in front of that portal, like setting themselves on fire. Like, this would be how bad it was here. But that there actually is a little bit more patience than I thought. Now, they got booed at home at the end. You go to a game, you don't see a goal.
Home opener.
Don't see it till really late. It's like, wow, you know, what's this all about? So, I mean, I think there is still some patience with this on what's going on. But it won't be for long to just get in. At least, as you mentioned, it's like they don't look as hard to play against as they did last year. And that's a lot of effort to play that way when you probably don't have a much chance of a playoff spot if you mm-hmm. go another month like this. But I think that's what people are seeing is, okay, we're not seeing the same hard to play against as we were last year. And that's the eyes of everybody in the league. I mean, last year, after, let's say, 10 games, we're only halfway there, or a little over. People were saying, wow, the Flyers are really a really tough team to play against. And I don't think right now you're seeing that. I mean, Washington played more like the Flyers last year.
Yeah.
They look like a team. Pretty basic, dump it in, set plays up from there, shorties. There's no way to get around the fact that it's a disappointing start to the season in terms of just raw numbers, in terms of raw numbers on wins, raw numbers in points, and raw numbers in terms of your roster points.
Yeah, and the effort is still there from a lot of guys, and I just think as a whole it's not clicking right now. I mean, you look at someone like Ryan Poehling, the second game of that Caps game, I didn't think he was going to leave the ice. I didn't think he was going to leave D.C. I mean, he's taking shot after shot, and Steelers get passion on the bench. Like, it's there. It's just not clicking as of right now, and I understand the confusion of why. How can this look so different after a couple of months? But it's what you say. It's we knew this year was going to be a start all over, and I think it's the harsh reality that there is no carryover from last season, especially at the end. The one thing that's different, of course, is Matvei Michkov and our impressions of him so far this season. He gets that goal the second game in the Capitals. It's interesting. I was listening to the TNT broadcast and them picking up what we've been saying a little bit is he's got the skill. He knows where he needs to be mentally. But I think people are starting to see he's not the skater that I think everyone wanted him to be. He's a little more harsh around the edges, not as, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Refined in his skating. And I think we all saw that at first, and now national media is starting to pick up like, oh, he's not what I exactly wanted him to be right away.
Yeah, we've been telling people it's he thinks the game quickly. As I mentioned, he doesn't have those boots that Tippett has. He just doesn't have them. But setting up in the zone, that's when you process the game that quickly, that's what makes you stand out, that separates you as a player. When you have a player like that, you also have to have line mates that are expecting something to come through, a quick pass or through the slot or whatever. He also has had to, in the first Washington game, kind of hanging out at the blue line to get things going offensively. You just can't do that. So I think, you know, at the beginning of the season when people were saying, oh, he's going to play with Frost, and he has, we'll go over line changes a little later. But I remember saying, I think he's going to play with Couturier because Couturier will have his six more often. And Couturier isn't a speedster either. He'll be able to be in the right place. So I don't know how long that will be, but I think it's a feeling out, you know, process. Now, power play is a separate identity, I guess. And he's been terrific. Me, their power play, even though they got the two shorties scored against them, it looked like, oh my God, worse than last year. But I think you see the makings of something that can be better. Their woes on power play aren't up front. It's on the back end that things are happening there.
Yes, and we'll get to that as well, the struggles on the power play from someone like a Zamula for sure. But I think I think the most frustrating thing I talk about with fans, especially at the home opener, we had some of my friends coming in studio, and they're like, what are these lines? We had so many people coming up to us going, well, how are they even coming up with these lines? And every game it's changed. And I understand why it's confusing to a fan base, because you preach, okay, you want consistency and let's try to build off something. But when you're changing this every game, how can you build off anything? It seems to the naked eye like they're just like throwing darts at a wall and hoping something's sticking.
Yeah, your friends complain a lot.
They do. They do, just like me.
I came in, you know, get great seats to the game, and they come in and what's the heck's going on here?
Where's the goal? Yeah.
What's going on? I'm like, well, you know, it's early. It's like, oh no, let's change everything. This is not acceptable at all.
Yeah, the true voice of the fan.
You guys come in and do the show, and you can go throw darts at everything. So they were very opinionated. So I can imagine what you go through after every game. I go through the same thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. The lines have been jumbled up way more than I don't know how you get comfortable with them. I think Torts is just trying to find something that goes on. And also, when you get behind, that's when you kind of, okay, we'll see what happens. But we've already mentioned, it was really confusing when Couturier ends up a wing. Next game, a first line centerman, you know, so I mean, that is very confusing at times to me, but I can see what he's trying to do. It's like, in a way, it's like, okay, let's see what we have with Michkov. So we're going to alter things there. And then there was a Luchenko thing, and I still don't understand why, if he's not going to play, why he's even here, why wouldn't be better off sending him back? We'll see what happens. But I mean, that's part of the reason that all that line change. Then you wanted to get Delorier in the lineup, and obvious reasons, it's a really good fight for like a minute. It was like the highlight of the game. I wish he hadn't done it at the time when it looked like, oh, the Flyers might have something going here. But still, I think they were looking for that jolt. So I think Tortorella is still looking for something to put together that's got some sort of juice to it, some sort of chemistry to it. And I've not seen much with the exception of Tippett, who you can complain all you want about, and I do every night on the post game, that he can't hit the net or it gets blocked. But, man, it gets in position to take the shot. I mean, you know, you can't make the great shot if you don't take the great shot, right?
Right.
So
right.
He's more than willing to take the shot. And I'll live with that for a while to take that shot. But, I mean, that you need more people going on like that. They need more finish. And they should have it. I mean, they have it on shorthanded, it seems, but they don't have that. And I don't know if it's just they're not confident in it, and they should be. They're not confident in it, but or they're not in a position for the one timer or whatever. They're looking for a pass, and I think that's part of the reason Forster was kind of sent a bench for a game or removed for a game, and then came back to like, okay, you got, you know, we know what you've got. You've got to get that shot. You got to take that shot.
Yeah, it's taking the shot. I mean, how many times are we watching a game in the office and Scott's yelling, shoot it? Like, he sees it. He sees it developing, and it's like they're almost always a couple seconds behind to where it's too late. Like, you see the play developing. You see why it would work. And it's that hesitancy that I don't understand why is still there.
Yeah, it's like, why do you, you're not the prettiest team. I mean, No. It's not like you've got a skill set like Edmonton or Pittsburgh when they were flying or anything like that. No, if you get a shot, take the shot. I sometimes think, Ashlyn, I mean, I know a lot of teams use this on a break or whatever, but a pass-off pad to me, when the shooter comes in, shoots at the goaltender's high in the pads to get that, so he has to have a rebound. Sometimes I think, well, that'll get you going too. You know, Tippett, to me, when he takes a shot, maybe some other guys should, his mistakes might be good for other guys. Mm-hmm. Or you just, okay, I see it. I only have like an inch in the corner or right over shoulder. Take it. Take it just as long as it's not far side wide going the other way.
Yeah, that's the hope. And you mentioned the power play. While offensively, we've seen a lot of progress on this power play, the structure as a whole has not been the greatest. And I know you don't want to pick on anyone. Zamula had a brutal mistake at the end of the game against the Capitals, and he's had a couple that have been glaring, but a couple guys have had glaring mistakes as well. So I get the worry. I think he's a young player, but I mean, I'm seeing on social media, like, send him down. He doesn't belong here. Like, no, that's ridiculous. That's not the case.
No, but I don't think he belongs on that second power play unit right now.
No.
At least the way he's playing right now. Turnover. It's when he's playing his best, he uses both sides of the ice, comes across, sends the puck across from right side to left side, whichever, wherever he's moving across the blue line. But he's getting caught in bad positions here. And it's not something he did previously. So I don't quite know why, if it's a new with Michkov there down low, if he's trying to move across. Sometimes I think when you're trying to be the big brother to Michkov, sometimes you do some things that are out of the ordinary on what's gone on. But I think York would probably be at least temporarily a little bit better there. Yeah, worry about him, that second power play. I mean, when you get two shorties scored against you like that, like, oh, my Lord, what's going on? It kind of, for a lot of people, I thought it negated some of the really good power play stuff that's gone on. Overall, I like the power play. You can live with some mistakes, but you can't live with that, especially on in a league where that gets around quickly. And, you know, he's going to be picked upon. Quick.
I'm sure already.
Like, oh, yeah. So defensively, I mean, Seeler back will help. The one guy that I'm a little concerned with, not necessarily on power play or whatever, but Drysdale, I'm hoping that the defensive pairings will help, but you know, he's been on the ice for a lot of bad stuff that's gone the other way so far. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's not a biggest guy. So, I mean, I think some team's going to try to test that. I think with his skill set, it should be fine. Get some confidence going in, defensive partner, help him out. But right now, I think he's struggled some. I love the upside of him, the skating, the ability to move the puck. But I think he's a guy that's made some mistakes. But I think they're correctable, and I think they're young player mistakes. That, you know, he came up so young, which is why with Luchenko, you wonder about, you know, 18 years old coming up to kind of learn a little bit. So I think by midpoint of the season, you got to have his wheels. You don't want to coach that out of him. But I think his structure's got to be better.
It does. And who knew? I mean, when we talk about these pairings and defense as a whole, like, we knew Nick Seeler would be an important part for this team, but everyone I talked to is like, man, we really got to get Seeler back. Seeler's really got to come back because he's the glue in this. I mean, this is why it looks so jumbled is Nick Seeler, which I didn't think we would be saying a month ago.
Yeah, that's good and not so good. Yeah. It's good because we see him a lot and everybody loves him as a player, effort level, block shots, all of that stuff. But, you know, when you look at the overall NHL, it's like, is that a guy that should be a big, huge difference? In this team, it is. But,
yes. Yeah.
You know, the bigger difference should be, you know, Sanheim playing like a real, you know, absolute number one. He's had some long shifts. I think he's carried his weight pretty well in this thing. But you look at, that's why everybody has to play right to where they're supposed to be with this team to give them a chance to win. So Cyril becomes far more important than I think he would be to most teams to come in, and not just on the ice, just the effort level and the energy that they get when they go out there. So that should help. But overall, I mean, I think it's got to be a guy like Drysdale pumping it up offensively, giving him more. Can't ask much more. I mean, Sanheim out there all the time. It's key situations. So I think that's where you're gonna find the biggest plus comes from. But the energy from Seattle is undeniable.
Yeah, for sure. And as a whole, we say it's not time to hit the panic button. The Flyers have two home games this weekend: Minnesota Wild, Montreal on Sunday, Saturday and Sunday games. You gotta win them to bring these fans back. You score some goals, look better, look more consistent, because I fear if they don't win these weekend games, people are jumping ship. I mean, the frustration level is higher than I thought it would be this early in the season.
Yeah, and Minnie's playing well. And, yeah, you know, Montreal's got a young defenseman that's pretty electric. And they've got some skilled players there. If you come home and you don't turn this around again. I mean, we can say Minnesota's playing well, but to most people, it's like, you got to beat them. And yeah, Montreal struggled so mightily to come back. So, you know, it won't be the warmest welcome, but you're hoping by the end of it, there's something to, I'll tell you what, we'll really pump them up. A couple of Michkov goals at home would get them going, because no matter what happens, if this kid continues to develop and becomes a real offensive force, that people will live with sometimes a team struggling, whatever, because they'll see the future of what's coming on. So that would be the biggest plus here. And the goaltending Sam Harrison, I didn't think Fedotov was terrible second game in Washington. Okay. But they're going to need big saves at big time. They're going to need goaltenders to play over their heads, so to speak, to come up with the big save. And that's what they have to have, not just from him, certainly more from him, but also from Sam Harrison.
Yeah, I agree. Just to give people hope that this will improve as the season goes on. And that's South Philly Sauce and Odyssey Original, brought to you by 94 WIP. And Jack Daniels will be back early next week to recap these home games this weekend. Thanks for tuning in.